Welcome to Tarti Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. I'm recording this last of our Parshiot and Sefer Shmot from my home, Baruch Hashem, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. It's Thursday, right after Purim. And it's been a week where we keep running to our safe shelters. We've seen everything change as we've known it. Where we feel deeply and intimately that we are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace. Where the Nes of Purim seems to be reenacting itself in our own days. Where we're hoping, I don't know where we'll be next week by the time this airs in your home. But things seem to be changing very quickly. What we are secure in, our family over here, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cradling us very closely. We feel that. And we're very confident that this is quickly taking us towards the ultimate Geula. Which, of course, is the story of where we've been and where we're going in Sefer Shmot. As we started, and as today will end, with a chazak v'nitchazek, the story of Geula is not the story of getting out of a hard place. The last stop in Geula is not on the other side of the Yam, safe from the Mitzrim, but the last stop of the Geula is Klal Yisrael returning, in the words of the Ramban, to Ma'alat Avotam, to the level of their forefathers who were able to create a space in this world with which to receive the Shechina. And in Parashat Vayekel Pekudei, we close the story of this amazing redemption with what seems to be a review, but as we'll hopefully uncover, is much more than that, of the building of the Mishkan. Parashat Vayekel begins with an assembling, with Moshe Rabbeinu gathering the people of Klal Yisrael, repeating to them the commandment to observe the Shabbat. He then gives over Kadosh Baruch Hu's instructions regarding the making of the Mishkan, again with many details that we've seen before in Parshat Truma, with the dimensions, with the materials that created the vessels of the Mishkan, and then, of course, what became the Beit HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael respond with overwhelming generosity, to the extent that Moshe actually has to tell them to stop giving. We learn of the wise-hearted artisans who built the Mishkan and its furnishings. And again, many of the details we've seen before of the various kelim, of the ktoret, of the mizbeach, of the hangings, of the foundations and the sockets of the courtyard, of the kiol. In Parashat Kudei, an accounting is made of the gold, the silver, and the copper that was donated by the people for the making of the Mishkan. Bitzalel, Oholiav, and their assistants fabricate the 8 garments, the Bigdei Kohen Gadol, and of course those of the regular Kohanim, according to the specifications, again, that we've seen before in Parshat Tetzaveh. Finally, at the end of our parasha, the Mishkan is completed. All of its various parts are brought before Moshe Rabbeinu, who erects the Mishkan and anoints it with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. He initiates Aaron and his 4 sons into the Kiona. Finally, a cloud appears over the Mishkan, signifying the Shechina that has come to dwell within it. Again, a beautiful crescendo, really, of the story of Geula, but also seemingly a review of what we've done before. And the question here, of course, is, if this is review, why? Words or psukim in the Torah do not come cheap. And of course, we understand the deep, eternal significance of each. What is different here, vis-a-vis what we've seen before in Parshiot Truma and Tetzaveh? There's a fundamental dispute between Rashi and the Ramban regarding the command to build the Mishkan and its relationship to the calamity that was Chet HaEgel. The Ramban takes the position that the command to build the Mishkan was not a reaction or a response to Chet HaEgel, to the sin of the golden calf, but rather, as per the sequence of the Parshiot themselves, the Ramban posits that the command to build the Mishkan came before Chet HaEgel, preceded the sin. This, in contrast to Rashi, who understands by invoking the principle of Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar Batorah, the Torah does not give an orderly, chronological telling of events, that actually the Chet HaEgel came first, and the command, and the execution of the construction of the Mishkan both came actually after the Chet HaEgel. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, in his introduction to Parshat Vayakel, clearly takes the position of the Ramban. Whereas he says, originally Klal Yisrael were commanded to build the Mishkan, then came Chet HaEgel. Now in Parshat Vayakel, as Moshe Rabbeinu greets Klal Yisrael with the second set of luchot, those that were gifted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he accepted the tshuva of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu comes with these new luchot and again repeats the command to build the Mishkan. But this is not just a review. The second set of luchot are what he calls the eravon, are the guarantee for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within Klal Yisrael. The cataclysmic event that was recorded in last week's Parashat Ki Tisa, that of the greatest betrayal in history, of Klal Yisrael dancing around a golden calf so soon after they had stood at Har Sinai and beheld the glory of God. That very difficult episode put a giant question mark over the entire endeavor of building a Mishkan. Could Klal Yisrael, in their sin, create a space in this world to contain or to host the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And as Rav Hirsch explains, the event of Chet HaEgel did not negate the command to build the Mishkan, but it actually lent tremendous significance to the entire undertaking. As Rav Hirsch explains, now Klal Yisrael were going to embark on erecting the Mishkan, on fulfilling the command that had been given to them, al yisod chadash shel nisayon, on an entirely new foundation of bitter experience. This would no longer be just a continuation of the exalted high Klal Yisrael experienced when they stood at Har Sinai. This would not be Shechina having appeared on the mountain, distilled and available for all to see, in a continuation of where they were on the mountain. Rather, Klal Yisrael and their Kohanim had seen themselves in their greatest weakness and had seen that despite the mountain, despite what they had witnessed in the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, they were still weak. They were still vulnerable. And they realized now more than ever how much they needed a constant infusion of clarity, of elevation, of closeness. They had learned through painful experience of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal HaDin HaChamur. He is a master who exacts strict justice, and we are held accountable. On the other hand, in the very aftermath of the Egel, they learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Baal HaRachamim HaGdolim, the greatest dispenser of compassion and of forgiveness. And so at this point, the second time they receive the very same command, they are not the same people. At this point, they've tasted every flavor and experienced every extreme and every subtle nuance of the relationship that is possible between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the lowest, most shameful place of a people who betrayed their God and have been rejected by Him, to the most exalted. And here's what I love. When Rav Hirsch talks of this tremendous gap between the lowest to the highest, and they had tasted the most exalted, we expect that to be having stood at Har Sinai and heard the Aseret HaDibrot from the mouth of Hashem Himself. But that's not where Rav Hirsch goes. Rav Hirsch actually takes us to the place of having tasted the most exalted level, the exalted light of the kindness and compassion of tshuva. The highest level a Jew can reach is having seen the light of the forgiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Having fallen, having stumbled, being welcomed back. And so we've tasted everything. The Mishkan now, to Jews who are different than they were before, is designated as a place to project the vision of the mission that Klal Yisrael hold within themselves, a place where if they will stumble, if they will fall, when or if they will become lost, confused, lose the way, they will have a place to turn, to return to, a place to motivate them to rise to that mission, a place where they will find the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his blessing to manifest the mission he designated towards them. The sandwiching of Chet HaEgel between the command to build the Mishkan and then its ultimate fulfillment and its execution is the greatest testament to the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is found at every level of sin and then of tshuva. And it marks this chesed as an indisputable historical fact that actually took place. Rav Hirsch continues, the greatest significance of these events becomes clear when we remember that the greatest sin ever committed by the nation of Klal Yisrael took place, and the greatest forgiveness ever achieved by Klal Yisrael took place before the Mikdash was even erected. As Rav Hirsch says, there is no greater testament to the idea that we've been bringing all along. The Mikdash, the Kolbanot, teach us, direct us, guide us, instruct us, even enable us in approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But is not the Mishkan or the Mikdash or the Kolbanot which get this done. Because again, the greatest sin and the greatest return took place before this place nor these items existed. Because while they are tremendous tools to take us where we need to get, the ultimate return, the ultimate closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accomplished in the heart of a Jew with a sincere desire to return. David HaMelech expressed this himself in Sefer Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin. We're in the aftermath of his chet with Batsheva, which will be upcoming in Nachyomi as we learn Sefer Shmuel Bet together. David HaMelech finds himself with a dilemma. And the dilemma is such. He understands that a korban has the power to help a Jew who has sinned to repair the gap or the distance and to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, a korban chatat could only be brought for a shogeg, for an unintentional sin. The event between David and Batsheva had not been an unintentional sin, the nuance and understanding of which is yet to come in Sefer Shmuel. Stay with us. That being said, David could not repair what had gone wrong over there with a korban. Feeling helpless, perhaps, or feeling he needed more, he approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a humility, with Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehilatecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you please open my mouth, and may I be worthy of speaking your praise. I cannot approach you with a korban, I'm disqualified. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you please allow the sincerity of my desire, the authenticity of my tefillot, in lieu of a korban, to bridge the gap. We, as a nation, a generation, begalut, find ourselves in a similar dilemma. We strive to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't have the tools or the mechanism or the instruction that was the Mikdash and the Korbanot. And so we've taken the Pasuk of David HaMelech as the introduction to every time we stand intimately before HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tfilah. And it's the request, like David HaMelech, of a generation of Jews who cannot access the power of the Mikdash or the Korbanot. But we read of them, and we learn of them, and we strive to understand what they were and what they presented, because they instruct us in who we must be, to be a Jew like David, who can stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I try to shape myself, I try to form myself, I try to present myself with a sincerity and a desire as strong as a korban in the Mikdash. And with that humility and that direction, we begin our most intimate conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, Ufi agid tehilatecha. Because the truth is, some of the greatest acts of closeness took place before we had the Mikdash. Perhaps it's those acts on our part that can bring back, that can restore the Mikdash to all its splendor. We come to a time of Chazak Chazak v'nit Chazik, coming to the close of Sefer Shmot. It's been quite a journey, and I thank you for stepping through it with me. May we end with the bracha given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael upon the completion of the building of the Mishkan in the desert. We are again in Parashat Kudei. We find in Perek Lamitet, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayal Moshe eskol hamlacha, v'hine asu osa ka'asher tziva Hashem ken asu, v'yivarech osam Moshe. Rav Hirsch again asks the question of the redundancy here. Hine asu osa, they did it. Kasher tziva Hashem kein asu. As Hashem had commanded, so did they complete. Why the redundancy over here? Says Rav Hirsch, Vihine asu osa refers to every individual in Klal Yisrael giving of his deepest self in whatever way he was strongest. The ones who could design did. The ones who could cut did. The ones who could chisel did. The ones who had artistic flair poured it into the construction of the Mishkan. Each Jew gave most authentically of whatever he or she had, expressing their individuality, expressing their creativity, expressing their own internal desire. However, Kasher tziva Hashem kein asu. With all that, they subsumed their egos. And no one looked for their contribution to scream of who they were or where their talents lied. But rather, they submitted to the Tzivoy Eloki and disciplined their own individual expression as an Eved Hashem. Says Rav Hirsch, this is the pinnacle of the true Eved Hashem. It's the Cherut Shebimashmat Umashmat Shebecherut. It's the ultimate freedom of expression within discipline, and the ultimate discipline within freedom of expression. And it's the combination of the two that provides the greatest joy that can be experienced by a person as an Eved Hashem. And thus Chazal explained, Vayavarech Osam Moshe, what was the bracha that Moshe gave to them? It's found in the greatest Tfilah LeMoshe, recorded in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Tzadik, where we find Moshe Rabbeinu ending this tefillah with Umaase Yadenu Konena Aleinu. Maase Yadenu Konena Aleinu. This is the freedom of expression. Umaase Yadenu Konenehu. And may our hands establish the Mishkan. This is the discipline. And it is the two together, the freedom of my own expression, giving my all, giving my own desire, my own talents in my service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, married to the discipline of understanding exactly and precisely what his command is, these two together bring to the ultimate joy of Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. May the grace and the favor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be found upon us always. As Chazal paraphrase, Vayvarech Osam Moshe, Amar Lehem, Yiratzon Shetashre Shechina B'Maase Yadechem. May it be Hashem's will that His presence will rest on the work of your hands, the Mikdash you built. V'Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. May we be Zoche to be true Avde Hashem with the joy described here. May we be Zoche to pulling together as Jews, learning the Sefer HaGeulah to Chazak Chazak v'nit Chazik. May we be dancing very shortly in the city, in the streets of our beloved city, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, with the ultimate Geulah. I thank you.